Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 22nd, and being Wednesday night, Griggs, it's time for Under the Radar.
Yes, it is. Oh, boy.
I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs. Might have somebody else joining us here in a minute. We'll cross our fingers on that, but we're going to get going
Yeah.
anyhow.
Well, Rocco and I were at a bar. I was thrown out, so, but he wasn't, and he might be joining us from that bar.
All right. We might get Rocco Miller in here. If not, we're gonna go ahead anyhow, and see, how bad we can mess things up without him. But what the hell
Right,
is under
yeah.
the radar for anybody that doesn't know?
Well, it's the 22 regular one bid conferences. That's the easiest and shortest definition of it. We always like to point out, and we'll get into this, that there's no rule that says those leagues only get one bid. It's just that they typically don't get more than one. So we're not talking about obviously the Power Four, the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12, nor are we talking about the West Coast, the Big East, the Mountain West, or the American. We might be talking about the Atlantic 10, I don't know, but probably not tonight.
The Atlantic 10 is still technically not under the radar, but it's pending further review. Let's put it that way.
Yes, it is.
What we like to do is go through these 22 conferences in alphabetical order, except for a feature conference that we like to do every week. And Griggs, I thought we'd start this week off at a conference with a conference that we have not yet featured this season. And let's see if I get the screen share to work. No, we can't get a screen share to work. Okay, here it comes.
Okay.
I thought we'd start this week off. It obviously have not yet featured. How about the Sun Belt Conference? An interesting conference where we've been following this Arkansas State team all season, but I'm not certain if we should still be following them or not. Because I think there's somebody
Yep.
else who's played better.
Well, South, I mean, I think you're talking about South Alabama, who's gotten really hot. Well, since the conference play started, and maybe outperforming Arkansas State. I still think Arkansas State has the best win out of everybody. They had that big win at Memphis, and they have that a really high ceiling. They won at Troy, they won at UAB. They were really competitive in that game against Alabama, but some head scratchers here when you look at the losses. And one of the losses that was a head scratcher at the time, Chad, was that loss at South Alabama. When that happened, we were like, oh, what's going on here? Because they didn't play well in that game, or didn't appear to. But maybe that was just South Alabama really kicking it into gear themselves.
Yeah, if you look at South Alabama, they did slip up once in conference play with that overtime loss against Old Dominion, but and they had a couple bad losses back in November also.
Yeah,
But
real bad November for them.
if you look at total wins in the top three quadrants, these two teams are tied.
Yeah. Now, again, Arkansas State wins of a little higher caliber, but I'm with you on South Alabama, but I'm still on the Arkansas State bandwagon. I think that they kind of are the strongest team, and the two will play again here in about a month, towards the well about the middle of February. February 19th, right there.
On
Why
February
I could
19th,
have
but
I.
and it's a fascinating schedules before that also though. South Alabama's side, five of their next six games all on the road, including their second game of the MAC Sun Belt Challenge at Akron there on February 8th. And Arkansas State's gonna have a four-game road trip there as well. They have to prepare home games, including their game at Kent State on February 8th as that part of that MAC Sun Belt Challenge as well.
Yeah, the Sun Belt, a really interesting league office there. They arrange for no one to play at home.
Pretty much. I mean, if you look at South Alabama's remaining schedule, there is a lot more road games and home games left. Oh, what's that?
I'm
Eight
not
to
sure
four,
how
road
that
versus
works.
home.
Yeah, not really sure how that works. 4-2 on the road, pretty respectable. Arkansas State 4-3 on the road. One of those losses being very forgivable at Alabama. And then, of course, South Alabama. One of the things to mention about them, Chad, their only two road losses were road bye games. So, sort of interesting there. The other thing that this conference has been known for over the years is sort of the log jam that you always see in the middle. And good thing that's not happening this year.
The other thing this conference is going to be known for is conference tournament format. You can check out the conference tournament tab up there on the
Yes.
website. It is about a 35-round
Yeah.
bowling ladder type of format tournament this year. I think what is it? Eight rounds this year, Griggs? I mean,
Yeah,
seriously,
eight
an eight round?
rounds. Yeah. How about Again, I'm being facetious here. How about fourth and 12th being separated by one game? Is that how is it that always happens in this league? Always.
It is. And you know, I think Appalachian State has had a little more life than anybody else. Troy, we liked heading into the season. I'm not going to write them off, although they did just lose that tough, tough 1-point game at South Alabama over the weekend. But now this
James.
conference is wide open, but if you want to get one of the top 2 seeds, you get a bye into the semifinal. If not, you want to get the third or the fourth seed, you bye to the quarterfinals. If you get the fifth or the sixth seed, though, at least you bypass the first 17 rounds of the conference tournament.
And again, one game could separate you from getting two buys or six buys. I mean, do we have a graphic of that tournament bracket, Chad?
I'm going to try to get up here right now. So fill for a second here, Griggs, while I try to get
And
on the
again,
screen.
to kind of well, again, I want to draw your attention to the standings and just how close it is between fourth and 12th, and then it really just two games separating third and 12th or second and 12th. And the reason that every game has a feeling of high stakes to it, you're going to see in a second, because it determines where you could start. And really, one or two games literally could make the difference of whether you buy into the semis or start off 5 or 6 rounds. It is a 7-round format, I think. It's more rounds than the NCAA tournament.
There it
Chad's
comes. It should
getting
be
it
coming
up
up on the
here.
screen right
Yeah,
there.
look at
There it is.
that. Look
One, two,
at that.
three, four, five. It is 7 rounds.
Yeah. And you know, can you circle the 12th seed there, Chad, for us?
They're way down here. They're
And
gonna
then
have to play 7 games in 7 days to get the automatic bid.
Yeah, and then
Get
can
the
you circle
fourth
the
seed.
fourth seed, which is one game separates four from 12 right now.
And fourth seed, you play 3 games to get the auto bid.
Yeah.
The normal conference tournament.
Right.
It's would you go to Pensacola on Tuesday and go there on Saturday? There's a week in between there.
Yeah. And only one game is separating the fourth place from the 12th place team. Yeah.
That conference tournament bracket is not a joke. I thought it
No, it is
was,
not.
honestly, when
It
I
is a
first saw
joke, but it's also
it.
like not a, yeah.
It is dead serious. Upcoming this week, though, in the Sun Belt Conference, we should get the week's schedule here. In terms of South Alabama, they're going to be at Louisiana Monroe, and a big game at Troy. They just played Troy last weekend. Now they play them again now at Troy this week. So
Yeah.
that is probably the game of the week this week.
Oh.
Arkansas State, hosting App State on Thursday night, another interesting game.
Yeah. The Sun Belt Commissioner, I believe, on the committee. We might want to ask him who the hell is in charge of putting these schedules together.
Well, I think he's going to be moving to do the same format for the NCAA tournament. Let's go with a
Yes. Yeah.
67-round tournament for the NCAA. Just
Right. Yeah. Just one. Yeah. Just one big ladder.
let's go back to the beginning here. Jump over to the America East Conference, where the story has been this Bryan team. Not only did they pick up the road win in Albany, but then they it was a home game, Briggs, but they blew out Lowell by 23 points over the weekend.
Yeah, and you and I know Rocco had been mentioning Brian, especially you had. I wasn't that much of a believer in them until after that blowout win against Lowell. One of the things is that they were just so unremarkable prior to this 4-game winning streak that they're on. I mean, they d didn't look good at all. But in conference play, they've certainly, I mean, they picked a good time to get good. And they've kind of been blowing through it. Now, they're not the only story. They're perhaps the biggest story, but I'm still enamored by Maine, and their game tomorrow night against Lowell is probably the under the radar game that I'm most excited about being played at all tomorrow, and maybe the game I'm most excited about, period. To be honest, that's going to be a fun one, and it's pivotal because if Maine wins that one, I don't even know what I mean. I almost can't fathom that. The 13-8 overall, 5-1 overall, in conference play, and a 3-game lead on UMass Lowell if Maine wins that game. How pivotal is that one?
Yeah, I mean, they pick up this win. They're in a great position to clearly get at least one of those top 4 seeds of the America East tournament. This conference tournament being played on campus sites, you want to get one
Yeah.
of those top 4 seeds, get a quarterfinal game. Then you want to get one of the top 2 seeds, at least get the semifinal game as well.
Yeah.
Heck, at this point, why not? Why can't they shake a shot at winning the conference regular season title outright? You got to
They, I
catch
mean,
Brian
and
to do that, but.
Yeah, that would be remarkable. But I mean, we had said back in October that we thought Maine would be a team to keep an eye on. But I think we both thought that maybe they could host a quarterfinal game.
Yeah,
But
I was thinking
they've
middle of the
looked as
pack, fourth, fifth, sixth place type of thing.
yeah, but here we are 5 games in, and they're right there. And if they win
Unbelievable.
tomorrow,
Huge game coming up in the American East tomorrow.
yeah.
Over in the A-Sun Conference, Lipscomb did what they needed to do this week. They won at Bellarmine. They took care of Austin Peay, who's been very disappointing in conference play over the weekend. And here they are tied with both Queens, Jacksonville, and Florida Gulf Coast at a four-way tie for first place.
Yeah, this conference is just almost I've not seen this before at this stage in any league that I can remember, but you got a four-way tie for first place. North Alabama also very good this year, just a game behind that logjam there. I think we all agree that Lipscomb is probably the best team in the league, but Queens as a transitional team holding their own,
Although
ineligible for the NCAA tournament,
they
but
got blown out by Florida Gulf Coast over the weekend. That was
they did. Yeah, and that was the one loss. But out of that whole group of, I'm going to throw North Alabama in there too, even though I know that they're a game behind. I still like this Lipscomb team a
I do
lot.
too. I do too. Now, again, this is another conference where you do want to get those top seeds. This conference tournament will be played on campus sites, so you want to get one of those top four, preferably one of those top two seeds, and have a shot to host it all the way through.
Yeah.
Coming this week, Lipscomb is going to be at North Alabama in a big game tomorrow night, and then at Central Arkansas. Well, take a look at a few of these other teams here. Wolf Coast is going to be at Bellarmine at Eastern Kentucky, Jacksonville at West Georgia, and at Queens on Saturday. That's probably the second biggest game this week, this Jacksonville Queens.
Yeah, Jax Queens is big. But yeah, Lipscomb at North Alabama, that's a chance for them to kind of put some distance between themselves. The conference playing, it's the haves and the have nots. And then Austin Peay kind of falling apart. I keep waiting for them to play their way up. I do think they'll win against Central Arkansas.
Well,
Everybody does.
they beat Butler on what was it opening night of the season, and that's all they've done all season though.
Yeah, that's
And I think
all they've done.
that
So.
was more of an indictment on Butler. At
Yeah,
that point in
especially the
time.
way it's played out.
Briggs over in the Big Sky Conference. The story is clearly Northern Colorado. Nice pair of wins this past week over Portland State and Sacramento State. And here they are, 2-game lead in the conference.
Yeah, a 2-game lead in the conference, almost, not quite halfway home, but most, and they've beaten some of the better teams in the league. I just think that I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it, they just look like the best team. I don't know if they'll run the table, but I think they might be favored in virtually every game the rest of the way.
Well, Montana is the only other team with a winning record against D1, and that's only 9-8.
Yeah.
I think Northern
Right. Yeah.
Colorado is not even playing in the same ballpark as the rest of these, in the same building as the rest of these teams at the moment. Although I would no doubt here, we've seen some crazy upsets in the last few years in the Big Sky tournament.
Yeah,
So
we have. And, yeah.
we've seen the one seed go down to the quarterfinals. So who
Yeah.
knows?
And again, yeah, and it's really messed up, I think, some of their opportunities to get their strongest team into the NCAA tournament. But no, we've seen that. But so it's hard for me to imagine anyone knocking off Northern Colorado.
They've got a very interesting road games. At Idaho, who is, I think, a little bit better than the record. And at
Yeah.
Eastern Washington, who is actually
Not as
really
good.
Eastern Washington, not Washington State, Eastern Washington.
Right, yeah. So last year's Eastern Washington team having a pretty decent year in those new Washington State uniforms of theirs. But that's not who this is.
Big South Conference, we're flying right along here. UNC Asheville is now in sole possession of first place, a game up on High Point. Although High Point did bounce back with a pair of wins this week, albeit over Presbyterian and South Carolina Upstate.
Yeah, kind of taking care of the low-hanging fruit there. I still think High Point is the strongest team. I know they have two losses, one of which was, I believe, to that Asheville team that's ahead of them.
Asheville
But
and at Longwood, yep.
yeah, and but I still kind of think that when High Point plays up to their ceiling, they are tough to beat. They're clearly not the same team away from home as they are at home, although. they're not bad on the. I mean, I wouldn't say that they're like incapable of playing on the road, but that's where most of their struggles have come from.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you look at three of their losses, four of their losses away from home,
Yeah.
only home loss was that Norfolk State game back in
Yeah, in
June
a
of
pretty good
2020.
Norfolk team. We'll get to that them here in a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. Longwood in Asheville having good stories. Went through maybe, but I just think that it's in the end of the day, High Point will sprint away from everybody else. I mean, they might not blow through the league. It might. I mean, Asheville and Longwood might be able to keep pace, but I still think High Point is the best team.
High Point hosting Winthrop this weekend, being
Yeah.
that, if they lose that now, that really opens the door. You would see Asheville with a road trip to Charleston Southern, which they should win.
Yeah, they should win that one.
Could open the door for a big lead by Asheville, which would be surprising. And not an Asheville team
Yeah.
we spoke about much so far this season, but you got to give them props for being in first place.
Yeah, you do. Right now, we are getting word. Apparently, it is too loud in the bar that Rocco is at, but he's going to try this. This will be good if he's able to
If Rocco gets in, he gets in. If
come
not,
in.
either way, we're
Yeah.
going to go ahead with the Big West Conference, as I think he's trying to join right now. But
What?
and there he is,
Rock.
Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org.
Rocco,
Hey, happy Wednesday.
why'd they kick me out?
Don't know.
I was at the bar with Rocco, and they just threw me out.
They have a huge cornhole tournament going on the other side of the wall, and I think you got tossed because you were arguing that your cornhole actually went in, but it didn't.
Yeah, well,
That's, well,
yeah.
and that it led it behind him, and he argued that it went in. So
Yeah.
that was it.
Hopefully it's not too loud. I got the earbuds in. Hopefully it cancels most of the noise for you guys.
Rocco, you got it just in time for us to be discussing the Big West Conference, which I know is one of your favorite leagues, actually. So I'll just throw it right to you here. I just pulled the Big West standings up on the screen.
Yeah, well, I think the big story is UC Riverside beating UC San Diego last week, which pulled Irvine 2 games ahead of the Tritons after their big showdown. And just a huge credit to Barrington Hargreaves, one of the best players in the league, played so well in that game. And I thought Mikey Magpayo, the Highlanders head coach, had a great game plan to shut down and at least disrupt UC San Diego's flow, much like Irvine did. And Riverside, I think, projects as a very dangerous Big West tournament team. If you didn't think that way before, you probably should now. But UC San Diego, of course, still dangerous. Maybe getting their worst basketball out of their system at a good time, because if they can peak in March, they'll be dangerous again.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
they have that Riverside team again, this time at home on October 6th or February 6th, not October 6th, that would be later. But it's just kind of crazy. So, what kind of a stretch for that? I mean, I know that they got Santa Barbara at home, Northridge, but UC Riverside followed by the road trip to UC Irvine back to back. If they want any hope at all at keeping pace with Irvine, they basically got to win out through that stretch, don't you think, Rock?
Yeah, I mean, to keep up with Irvine, that's going to be tough. Now, Irvine has the two injuries. Andre Henry won't be coming back this year, which hurts a lot. So Irvine's still going to have to earn it. There's a lot of tough tests in this league. Northridge is extremely talented. Santa Barbara's very talented. And I'm still – Cal Poly's 0-8 somehow, but they're in every game. They have a lot of older players from the Division II level. They're going to break through eventually. I'm surprised it didn't happen against UC Davis. Last week, they end up losing that by 11. But when they do, it's a crazy losing streak that they'll snap. I think it's up to 46 now.
Yeah,
The
it's in the
impressive thing,
40. It's been a minute since Cal Poly won a Big West game.
the
That's crazy.
impressive thing that Irvine is doing is that they are just taking care of business. They had a pair of 20 plus 20 and a 30 point blowout this week, and
Yeah,
that's what you got to do
that's
if
what
you
you got to
want
do.
to be ready, especially should something crazy happen in the Big West tournament. You can't get that auto bid.
They've
Yeah.
gotten really good at, I mean, their whole system is creating great de their great defense creates their offense.
They're a
So in those,
phenomenal defensive team. Yeah.
yeah, so when they have these types of games, and it happens a lot, the other team goes cold for a while. Irvine goes on like 15, 20 nothing runs, and it's over.
Yeah, that is the metric, the adjusted deficiency. That's the adjusted efficiency. So it takes into account the strengths of the opponents. Seventh in the nation, like one
That's
of the better
insane.
defensive teams in the country, period. And you mentioned the injury, but which is so unfortunate. But as Chad pointed out, they're still winning big without him.
Yeah, well, it's a program with a lot of depth. Last year at this time, Russell Turner was still playing 11 guys, and he started this year the same way. So they're down to nine. So they're down to like a normal team's depth at this time. So, and the really good thing for the Anteaters is everybody that plays learns how to play their system and play that defense. And so even though Andre Henry was the Big West player, defensive player of the year a year ago, their defense is still on point. I haven't seen a under the radar defense this high since I think the Loyola Chicago team that was an at-large worthy team, Porter Moser's last year. This is insanely impressive to be in the top 10, head almost into February.
Yeah. What was Drake a couple years ago? I don't think they were this high, but they were way up there defensively. But yeah.
Real quick
Anyway.
note, Irvine this week at Riverside, one of our favorite rivalries, the Riverine Cup there,
Yeah, the Riverbine Cup.
Hawaii at UC Irvine on Saturday. Those are the two big games to watch, is Irvine's games. Obviously, San Diego's got to win their two games, both at home this week, if they want any shot of keeping pace here.
Yeah, and Drake, to answer your question, Griggs, they were never higher than 40. 40 was their best
Oh, okay.
year.
Yeah.
They're number 18 this year, but that's a whole new regime.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. We'll talk about them soon.
Okay.
Over in the CAA, Griggs, we've got UNC Wilmington on just on Monday night, knocked off William and Mary by 11 points, really creating a huge, six teams within a game of first place now here in this league. But maybe College of Charleston still is the best team in the conference.
I think they are, but they're not so much better than everybody else that they're just going to run away from it. I mean, I know that they're 5-1, and perhaps like some of their tougher games are ahead of them. William and Mary can be kind of hard to play against. I'm out of that whole group, 1 through 6. I really like this Elon team. We've talked about them before, but I'm probably the most surprised by Towson. I mean, I like Pat Scarry and the job that he's done, but they just kind of came out of nowhere, it seemed.
Well, they
They
may well
finally
they
got
kind of
healthy.
like yeah, but Rocco, I think the team that had the big week this week though, maybe is this Wilmington team, a team we have not discussed much this year. But there they are at 12-5 against D1, 14-5 overall, and had the big win over William and Mary, plus a win over Northeastern.
Yeah, I think Wilmington will be tough to beat at Trask all year long. Most of the I think those two wins were both at home. I know the William and Mary one was. I was very tempted to wake up early and drive out there, but that's a really far drive from Charlotte, about 4 hours. But yeah, I think they project to be perfect at home. I want to say it's going to come down to what they can get done on the road. And their defense started really, really horrible this year. They've actually just to see them at 192 right now. They've actually improved about 100 spots from last month. So that's a good sign. If they continue trending that direction, getting stops, then you're right, Chad. They really can win this league.
Well, they get the big test tomorrow night, maybe the game of the week of the conference. They're at Charleston tomorrow night.
Oh,
Yeah, that's a
absolutely.
big
Circle
one.
that game.
Get your
Charleston, but
Flo Hoops subscription ready.
Charleston follows it up on Saturday with a trip to Elon. So he got a lot of interesting games. We've got the Delaware Drexel game coming this weekend as well. You mentioned that Towson team, Briggs. They've got games against A&T and Northeastern coming up. So there's.
Should win both of those. But
Yeah.
Charleston, yeah, over the next 48 hours or so, this is a chance for them to really make a statement. If they can get both of these, yes, I think that would definitively say we are the best.
William and Mary this week, if they're for real, they have to handle this kind of business with Hampton and Monmouth coming into their house. I think the vulnerability William and Mary has is they're so reliant on the outside shot that I really they only beat Hampton by three last time. So very interesting team. You never know what you're going to get. They're a box of
Right.
chocolates.
Yep, they are.
Well, Conference USA, Rocco, let me stick with you for a second here. This is conference. I think it is so wide open this year. I mean, Liberty's got the metrics. UTEP just picked up a pair of road wins, including the win at Liberty. Middle Tennessee's got a good record. New Mexico State's been a great story lately. I don't know where to go.
Well, I'm impressed that New Mexico State split the trip. FIU's a sneaky tough one. They got that done and then set the stage for the Liberty Showdown where they lost by 8. But I think the progress New Mexico State's made is real. And
yeah.
I think they're going to stick around. I mean, they proved that in the UTEP win. UTEP bounced back from that big embarrassing loss last week with an amazing week. They did the same trip. They're the travel partner, and they did get the Liberty Road win. So, you know, they're both right there. It makes that battle for I-10, which is a very heated rivalry, more exciting with more on the line. And the Middle Tennessee is quietly getting their business done, getting a nice little local win over their travel partner, WKU. Those teams you would think are pretty evenly matched, but they get that done by 14. That's a statement from the Blue Raiders in their only performance of the week. So really fun race. I'm also shout out to Kennesaw State, first year in the league. I covered them up in Canada. They have a lot of talent, and they're just starting to figure it out. And dangerous team. I don't think a lot of people thought they'd be 3-2. They were picked last in the league.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, if they beat my Scarlet Knights, I think that changed the complexion. But yeah, that 2-point win over the weekend over Louisiana Tech, and still a good Louisiana Tech team, but they're in 8th place in the conference right now.
Yeah, they're weird. They're having a rough time in this league.
Yeah, like so's Liberty. I mean, Liberty and La Tech looked. They showed us the most out of conference, and I don't even think it was close, but not in conference play. And how about Middle Tennessee? Don't forget about them playing really well.
Yeah, I just circled about 4 or 5 games here. There's a lot of interesting games coming up this week. Kennesaw has that New Mexico State UTEP road trip, whereas both Middle and Western are going to be at Louisiana Tech. So some interesting games coming up. And this is going to be a fun conference the rest of the way.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they're beating each other up. These games are hard games, and nobody's really going to separate, I don't think. And this is 2 years in a row for Liberty. They joined the league last year, and they were picked to win. Same thing happened. They were surprisingly stuck in the middle all year long and a disappointment, really. And it's kind of starting to play out that way again because two of their losses are home losses.
You start to wonder about those road trips that they got to make, and maybe that's starting to play at them. You know that this is such a spread out league here too.
Yeah, they got to get their rivals FIU this week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that one's fierce. That FIU Liberty.
Riggs, over in the Horizon League, Cleveland State now 9-1, especially after tonight. Fort Wayne and Youngstown State both going down. Youngstown State at home to Morris Robert. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Penguin Fever. Morris Robert.
Yeah, there's Morris Robert. Penguin Fever hitting a bit of a skid. Is that 2 or 3 in a row that they've lost now? Anyway, in a bit of a tailspin there. But is Cleveland State sort of breaking away from the pack here? And do they, I mean, and you look at this, we're halfway through the conference schedule. We're 10 games into the 20 game schedule. So they've already had one of the rotations and clearly the best team so far. I believe that's a 9-game winning streak. It goes back to December and looking like the best team, I think, in the conference, especially like with what you said with Purdue, Fort Wayne, Youngstown, and some other teams dropping some games.
I'll throw out there. It's now an 11-game winning streak. One of the longest winning streaks of the nation, actually. And I'm a believer here, Rocco, in this Cleveland State team.
Yeah, they're playing terrific. You know, 5th in the nation in forcing turnovers. Almost 24% of opponents' possessions result in a turnover. That's just a crazy number. I think the top teams in that metric are like SWAC level, Southland level teams. So Cleveland State, Horizon, little bit of a step up above that. Doing this at this level is really impressive. They also have the number one offense in league play games alone, so they're doing it on both ends of the floor and really creating separation in these games tonight. Another 15-point win, and they get Green Bay on Saturday, so they're looking really good.
Green Bay, we could do 3 hours on what Green Bay chose to do in the offseason, and they're. But I don't think we will even. It's just
Green Bay is a dumpster fire that's on a ship out in the ocean that is sinking.
Green Bay. They've had a couple shots in recent games and completely blown them as well. There's the rest of the upcoming schedule. Youngstown State, with an odd number of teams, is going out of conference to play Penn State Shenango. But Penn State
Yeah.
Shenango.
Interesting game there. I wonder if that's a children's field trip game or something. I don't
I
know. That is bizarre.
think
I
that's
think,
the game
well,
in
it's an
here.
11.
Yeah, it's an 11-team league, so every rotation somebody has a bye. And I think it was a situation where Youngstown had one game to go get. They figured, hey, we don't want to go a whole week without playing, so let's just get this game. Or maybe, chance to play the walk-ons, right?
Yeah.
I'd actually circle the Oakland at Robert Morris game Saturday. Robert Morris suddenly,
Good.
picking up some wins. Nice win tonight at Youngstown State. So they're a team that's coming on here. Oakland obviously was in the tournament last year, so let's see what happens in that one.
Yeah, I keep waiting
I
for
like
them to
how.
kind of go ahead, Bruno.
Sorry, I was just gonna say I like how on the horizon screen here, Chad, you have in the standings it's Morris Robert, but on the week's results it's Robert Morris.
Yeah. Well, you see, they got both names if you looked at number 23 there on the
Yeah, I mean,
left.
yeah,
Yeah, you're balancing it out. I like that.
we want to make sure we get both iterations covered. Rocco, Ivy League, Princeton and Yale took care of business this week here, right? And I think that we're kind of back to the same as always here in the Ivy League, whereas these two teams are going to be battling it out all the way.
Yeah, just it actually just couple hours ago interviewed Xavier and Lee, who had both game-winning baskets. I think the second one was a buzzer beater. His third and fourth game winners of his career. He was absolutely sensational all week. I think he averaged 26 and a half points, eight. One game he had nine assists. He had eight rebounds and average. Just does it all for this team. Princeton's the 310th tallest team in the country, so they're undersized, and so there's so much pressure on their guards to perform between him and Caden Pierce as the leaders. And they got all they can handle. This Dartmouth team is a lot better than I think we thought preseason. They gave Princeton a war. Columbia's had really bad defensive problems, but they actually reined that in a little bit better last week and still fell short. We know Columbia's got a good offense. So those were really interesting results, I thought, and I paid attention the closest to. But I also think the best overall team as a whole still at this point is Yale. And outside of all that, really big surprise, I thought, with Brown's win at Cornell.
Yeah, I'm with you on Yale. Columbia, after such a good run out of conference, albeit against a very weak schedule, kind of starting to look like Columbia again.
Upcoming this week, Princeton and Yale on Saturday, both with home games, Princeton against Cornell, Yale against Harvard. Harvard's been competitive, but they have not been getting wins, and I don't know that they're going to be able to pick this one up.
Probably not. I almost assuredly not.
Here's, let me stick with you over the Metro Atlantic, where Marist finally went down, losing at home actually to Rider in a major upset, I thought, in this conference. And
Yeah.
suddenly I'm paying a lot more attention to this Quinnipiac team, who got the big who gave Merrimack their first conference loss back last Thursday night.
Well, yeah, and you may recall this was the team that we liked in the preseason. They were a little underwhelming out of conference, but who in this conference wasn't? It's exceptionally weak league. And the further we go into it, the more and more is this finally the year Quinnipiac lives up to their expectation and finishes at or near the top? And so far, it's playing out that way. Marist and Merrimack are right there, but I've kind of been banging the Quinnipiac drum for a couple weeks now, and I'm not going to stop now.
I'll tell you why Marist suffered their first loss was because Rocco, that they finally have a quad three game, so they had been the only team in the nation that not played a game outside of tier four all season. That St. Peter's game has now moved up into tier three, and earlier the week Richard was a tier three game, and that fell back down,
Right. I want to draw your attention to one thing with that point. We all know like how weak this conference is. So the idea that the non-conference strength of schedule is 364 and the overall strength of schedule is th that's pretty remarkable. Like the non-con,
difficult to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. There the conference schedule is 364 and the non-con was somehow weaker.
364 is as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
But I think here's the upcoming schedule for this week. Because we've got to pay attention to Merrimack at St. Peter's. not pay attention to Ryder or Quinnipiac, given that Ryder just beat Marist. I don't know they have to pay attention to Marist at Canisius, though.
Probably not.
Canisius' team has struggled a little bit this season.
Getting better. Getting better. They got two wins now.
Yeah, two
they
wins.
They do. They do have two. And they, I mean, that sort of torpedoed their centenary award chances.
Ryder, Paco over in the Mid American Conference. How about this Miami Ohio team? Win at Penn State, took care of Bowling Green last night. I'm impressed by them.
I am too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a couple big wins now that where, you know, it was maybe less than 50-50 going in, and they found a way to get it done. They have some really strong leaders. I watched Travis Steele's press conference last night. He had a lot of great things to say about the team, how they love playing for each other, you know, all those types of things. But you can tell there's a difference happening there. They've been down for a lot of a big chunk of years. This is their best start in the MAC since the Wally Szczerbiak days. And, you know, even if they fall at Akron this weekend, which I'm sure they'll be favored to lose, I think they do have staying power to be in the contention throughout the rest of the way.
There's a huge game coming up Saturday. These two teams that are undefeated in conference play head-to-head at Akron Saturday. Circle that one.
That's a
times.
Big one. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one, I think.
Meanwhile, let's Briggs, let me stick with you over in the MEAC. Slightly interesting conference here. You look at the standings, you see Howard at 3-0 and in first place. And I just want to throw out here, Howard just played back-to-back non-D1 games over the course of the past 7 days. Only one of them is on the screen. But they lost to both.
I don't think Howard will remain in first place as the season plays out. In fact, I know that they're a game behind them, but I think Norfolk State is probably going to run away from the rest of this conference. I mean, there's other things that you can kind of point to. SC State, South Carolina State's had a couple of good wins, North Carolina Central. But I think Norfolk is, regardless, even if you look at all the metrics across here, they're quite a bit better than everyone else. They're pretty far ahead. In fact, in the J&G, is anybody even within 100 of them? I don't think so. They're not.
They're not.
Yeah. Just think that they might be 12-2, 13-1 going into the conference tournament. Norfolk's better than everybody else.
It's kind of funny, though, Rocco. We got the game this Saturday. Howard is at Norfolk State, a team that's undefeated in conference play. And I don't give them any shot at winning that game.
No, they just lost to those two non-D1s, right? So,
right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I would imagine you're right. But Howard was the preseason pick, and these two get after each other. I think Howard beat them in the MEAC championship game last year, right? So they've got that history together, and you just funny things happen in league play when the teams – I missed the Big South portion of the show, but I just came out of the Asheville-Gardner-Webb game, and those two teams were very high scoring. And the game ends up 61-53 because it was such a chess match. They knew how to take away each other's strengths, and nobody could score. That's, you know, it's that kind of matchup when these two meet up. So I don't want to write it off. And then I also think South Carolina State, Delaware State are very interesting in that league.
I'll jump back there. I just jump back to the Big South. I know we discussed it earlier, Rocco. But here's a little bit about that, a little more about that Asheville Gardner Webb game. I just circled it on the screen there.
Yeah, it was crazy. So UNC Asheville starts the game, Chad, 0-for-12 from deep, which is very uncharacteristic. They're a very good shooting team. They're the top three-point shooting team in the Big South. They're the best at ball protection. They were turning it over. So basically all the trends that Asheville had coming in, they did the opposite. And Gardner-Webb totally controlled and dominated the first half, but they only went to halftime up 29-20. And I thought, you know, especially looking back on it now, they probably should have been up by 15 or 20. And the tides completely flipped in the second half. Asheville went on a 13-0 run. Gardner-Webb ended up going cold, and they couldn't get back on track after that. They ended up falling by 8. So just a tale of two completely different halves. And Gardner-Webb could have buried them early, and they missed their chance.
Yeah, Asheville down sole possession of first place. We'll see if that stands with High Point right there on their tails. But, Briggs, let me jump back over to you, Missouri Valley Conference time. Bradley, great week, I thought. we could sweep at the road games at Murray State and at Belmont.
Yeah, to pick up those two on the road, and then that's what they had to do. That was probably one of their more tougher road trips or road stretches that they're going to have. You look at their next few games, they should win the next two. I don't think that they'll have to sweat too much. I still think this Northern Iowa team, while they don't always play up to their ceiling, they have the potential to be very dangerous. That's going to be a tough one. And then, of course, they go to Drake. But I know that the margin for error is razor thin, but are they playing along with Drake? It's the same with Drake. Could one of these teams end up on or inside the bubble if they can rip through the rest of their schedule? I still
Let
like,
me throw that question over to Rocco here. Rocco,
I like that Drake profile too.
let's assume Bradley loses one more game of the regular season and gets upset in the conference tournament. Is there a path here for this team?
I think so, because right now, I'm staring at the sheet here on the screen, but their SOR and their WAB is 53. And it's all about resume and even KPI is 49. So they're almost like in the conversation now, probably definitely out, but at least mentioned at the table, I would say. And so you throw another 8, 9, 10 wins on top of that. They're 5-0 on the road already in the league. And I think they have five more to go on the road and then six at home. So the rest of the schedule starting to lighten up a little bit. They got a couple of those big road ones already out of the way. Obviously, the biggest two still coming at it in the Iowa schools, but I think it could be interesting. I think the difficult part on their side is that it's just going to be have to be an accumulation of a big win total to get interesting because they didn't get the tournament level. Now, San Francisco is their best friend. If somehow the Dons can, beat St. Mary's or beat Gonzaga, and then they're like a tournament caliber team, everything changes for Bradley. But unless that, I'm not counting on that yet. I would hope for that to come true, but with, assuming San Francisco finishes around where they are, I think it would have to be a bundle of wins. Whereas on the Drake side, I know that's coming next, they have the Vanderbilt win. And Vanderbilt was in the field on Monday for me, probably still in the field. They lost at Alabama. And a win against Vanderbilt and then a red hot Bradley is Drake's best friend. So Drake should be rooting for Bradley every other game. So it's kind of
Drake should
interesting.
even wish he'd be rooted for Bradley when Bradley goes to Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you
But
go.
one of the things I'll say about Bradley is the week that they had. They went on the road to Belmont and Murray. And I know, Rocco, this isn't going to jump off the resume or off of the page, but they won both those games by double digits. And I know the eye test is probably thrown around more than it should be. I don't know how much it actually comes into play, but you watch those games and you're like, Bradley looks good. They do at least look like an NCAA tournament team or a team that could be an NCAA tournament team to go and win both of those by double digits.
Yeah, I mean they really click. They had that one game where they were about to lose to UIC and Duke Dean bailed them out with that buzzer beater. But besides that, and I think UIC is better than people are giving them credit for.
Rod Eschen like ruining everyone's day. Yeah, they had to win over Drake too.
I know they're freaking good, man. But they're also vulnerable because they're still gelling and going through it, but yeah, I think Bradley, what my point is, they're veterans. That's why they were the unanimous pick in the preseason. They've been through the wars, they've won a ton of games together, and it's really hard to win this many games that we're asking them to win right now in this league. But if anybody can do it, it's a team with that much experience.
Couple of games of note coming up. It's still a week away here next Wednesday. UIC team we just discussed at Bradley. Northern Iowa, Drake. Definitely
Rematch.
circle that one next Wednesday.
Yeah, a big four rivalry there. So
Underrated rivalry. National
very
rivalry.
good, right? Yeah.
Yeah, national.
Rocco, let me stick with you though, over the Northeast Conference where Central Connecticut, I guess they finally got a win, but the big story here has been this Long Island team. A couple more wins, and here they are undefeated 6-0 and closing in on the
Are
overall
those the
500
worst
mark.
credentials of any first place team ever, Rocco? That's my question.
278 net
Not
in first
ever.
place.
Not ever. But yeah, they definitely took a lot of lumps early on. They almost slipped up against Mercyhurst in the game that you thought they were going to be able to cruise. That's what the NEC is all about. Anytime you think anybody's going to cruise, they slip up. It's a very unpredictable league. Look at a game on Saturday where Chicago State wins by 16 points, Greg.
Yep, Chicago State doubling their win total for the season on Saturday.
And increasing their chances of qualifying for the top eight and making the NEC tournament.
Yeah.
They're telling the rest of the NEC that trip to Chicago is going to be a bear going forward. They made a statement.
LIU this week is going to be at St. Francis and at Mercyhurst. So two more tough road games for them. Those are probably the games to circle this week in the NEC. See if LIU can remain undefeated.
It feels like they'll slip up in one of them. I don't know why. It just feels like they will.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if six games from now, LIU is 6-6 in conference, honestly. But could really happen in this league the way this league has been going. So who knows?
Exactly. Chad, real quick, LIU going to St. Francis, one of the better under the radar rivalries ever, the Battle of Brooklyn.
Wrong St. Francis, Griggs.
Oh.
But Griggs, let me go to you seriously over the Ohio Valley Conference. And another shout out to Morehead State, another 2-0 week. They've won, what, 6-7 games in a row now, and here they are, sole possession of first place.
Yeah, so Morehead State, again, both those games at home, not exactly against, like, the upper part of the conference, but getting it done, I want to say, was it Lindenwood?
Hold on a second. Where is the upper part of the conference, though? Because no, where are these numbers in this league?
Yeah, so a big week for them on the road. They go to Eastern Illinois. That should be some pretty low-hanging fruit. Eastern Illinois among probably one of the 25, 30 worst teams in the country. But this game coming up at Edwardsville, they were another team that kind of had a rough week last week. But I still think SIUE might be one of the more talented teams in the conference. That's going to be a tough road game. If Morehead wins that and they get to 9-1, then I'll start to think that they're running downhill a little bit, especially since they already won at Little Rock. And Little Rock, who I was really highly disappointed in the out-of-conference portion of the schedule. I thought they underperformed. I just thought they had the talent to blow through this league. But keeping pace with Morehead, although they did lose to them at home.
Now, Little Rock with a big week because they've got three games. They got their makeup game against Eastern Illinois coming on Monday night. Even they'll be playing at SEMO. There should be about 10 fans there.
Yeah.
No, it's the Show Me Center. Come on, Chad.
Yes, it's show.
What else are you going to do in Cape Girardeau?
Well, Rocco, are you going to be there?
I'm not going to be there. I'm going home tomorrow. I've been on the road since Saturday night's red eye. I'm ready to get home.
All right. We'll let you get home. But Rocco, over in the Patriot League, you know what? Colgate is doing what Colgate does.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're back and better than. No, not ever, but they're yeah, freaking good. And I thought that Bucknell game was going to be a great challenge, and it was. I think they were tied at halftime, and they got it done by 7. They were the better team down the stretch, and, I mean, they're checking all the boxes in terms of, you know, being clutch when it matters. And when they're playing the bottom half of the league, they're wiping them out, like 15-plus. So that's the typical Colgate that we've come to know and love. And how about Army in second place? That's a big story.
That is a huge story. I keep waiting for them to just kind of fall off and come back to earth. But two road games last week that they won. Won them both.
One today at Holy Cross. That was tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And next Wednesday night, Circulus Colgate is going to Army.
This should be a shot for Army.
Yeah,
we should all meet there. Yeah,
we are all well. I'm banned from West Point.
Actually, this is Colgate's biggest week of the season. They've got to go to American over the weekend before that Army game. Probably the second and third best teams of the conference right now.
Yeah, and I'll say American's probably the second most talented, with Matt Rogers the best player in this league. So they're going to have their hands full at American for sure.
Riggs, we had a hell of a under the radar upset tonight. Furman, who we've been touting, went to VMI and just got their asses kicked.
Yeah, I had made the comment that we had high expectations for them. Maybe they were one of those teams that we were talking about. Maybe they could make a run through at the bubble if they blow through the league, but they had been disappointing prior to tonight. And then tonight just said, "Oh, you thought that was disappointing? Hold my beer." And went to VMI and got dump trucked by VMI.
And now this league is all about the Samford team, obviously. Samford
I think
Mouse.
so.
But they slipped up as well against East Tennessee State at home. So, I think that was 28 game home win streak at Samford. Big
It was up there.
story.
Was it as high as 28? I knew it was
Well,
high. Wow.
I'll forgive a loss to an East Tennessee State team that's in the upper half of the conference. I can't forgive a blowout against a VMI team that's going to be in the 8-9 game at best in the conference tournament.
I don't know. VMI looked awesome today. They hit like a million
Exactly.
three.
They're not awesome, but they looked awesome
I think that's I
today.
think that's part of the problem.
So I have VMI's basketball Twitter account in my list of beat writers because they don't have a beat writer. So I just have the regular account, and it was just popping up like crazy tonight on every Gardner Webb commercial. I was like refreshing the VMI page. I was like, wow, they were going crazy on Twitter. Good job, VMI basketball Twitter tonight. You guys had a hell of a night.
Yeah.
Hope you're celebrating big in Lexington, Virginia.
I'm actually
I want
kicking
to also
myself.
get.
I just drove through Lexington early today. I should have stopped there and went to the
Oh,
game.
come
I
on. You
didn't.
could have gone to
I
the game,
know.
Jay.
You could have
Like,
stormed the court. Chad could have stormed the court.
yeah, with the cadets. That would have been epic. How about another shout out to VMI, a big win over rival, the Citadel, one of my favorite rivalries. That's not hyperbole. I love watching that game over the weekend. But Samford, aside from the slip up to East Tennessee State, still in first place. And God, what a fun team.
And huge week for them. They've got a road trip to Chattanooga, always tough. Tough Wofford team at home Saturday. And next Wednesday, they're going to Furman.
They go
These
to
three,
Furman.
this next three games are huge for the Samford team.
I think so too. And God, talk about, I mean, all of the turnover that they had and such a talented team a year ago to lose that and still be 15-4 on the year, that's pretty remarkable.
I go over in the Southland Conference, McNeese, just doing what we thought they'd be doing all season, and what they're finally doing in conference play. So bad on Monday night over Stephen F. Austin that cost SFA's coach's job.
Yeah, that's the other big story, right?
Yeah, not that game cost him the job, but Kyle
Yeah,
Keller is out.
it was trending that way. I think they just wanted to get ahead of the coaching search, but talk about that in a second. With McNeese, yeah, they pummeled SFA, they handled Lamar, and I think their closest game all conference season has been 9 points against Nichols. Kudos to them for even coming within nine. But yeah, they've really got their confidence and their swagger in this league, and I think the question's starting to become how high can they go? I think they're stuck at a 12 seed because they took five losses, but the five teams they lost to, like two SEC teams, Santa Clara, Liberty, and South Dakota State, those are not bad losses whatsoever.
They're not bad, but to get above the 12 line,
Yeah, it
aren't
takes
those
something
the kind of
special.
games you have to win?
Yeah. They
Yeah,
got the North Texas win, so that helps.
I'll tell you, I could see them getting the 11 line, but it's going to require them to literally win every single remaining game, including the conference tournament. I mean, because if you're going in there on a 22 game winning streak, that's a hell of a winning streak to go to the NCAA tournament on, whatever that number would be.
It is. I think the rough part for them is, well, it also depends on the draw, but last year, of course, getting Gonzaga, the committee didn't do any favors for them. And I think the other thing is, like Gonzaga themselves, over the old days of the WCC, there was years where they just weren't tested going into March and they would lose early. And I feel like that kind of thing is maybe troublesome for McNeese as well. They might, I don't know how long this is going to last because Will Wade could easily move up next year. But if they were smart about it, I think they should have done like a big non-conference game in late February, like Illinois Duke is doing. They could have done like McNeese against Memphis or something like that. But unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Did they try to do that? Like,
No, I
'cause
don't know if they thought
a
of.
lot of schools avoid this. Pull them up again, Chad. Like, you
Well,
start to look at it.
a lot of schools avoid McNeese. Let's be clear
They
about that
do.
too.
That's the point I was making. And while we were beating, like, we had high expectations, or at least I did. I think we all did. We thought that this was a team that was good enough to land inside the bubble. And then they had their out of conference run, and it was disappointing. But then you look at it again, real competitive in that Alabama game. And Alabama is better now than I think we thought they were on the 11th. Mississippi State almost won that game. And then Liberty, while, like you said, it wasn't a bad loss, it's not like that they were blown out by everybody. They were really competitive against two protected seeds. I'm starting to change my mind. Yeah, if they went out and they are good enough to do it, maybe they can get above the 12 line.
But I'm talking no losses, because any loss, even in the conference tournament finals, is a bad loss.
And it's
But
all
they've
about the
been.
12 or 11 doesn't matter too much compared to like your opponent. So if they get a Wisconsin, I would feel okay about that. If they get a like a Houston,
Well, they're not going to. Houston's going
Houston's
to
on
be.
their way up. They're on their way
Yeah,
up.
Houston's. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like in the recent brackets, those are the types of teams they would get. So.
Here's the upcoming schedule. McNeese games this week. They are at UT RGV and at Corpus Christi. Big road trip, actually. RGV had a little bit of life earlier in the season. Corpus
Yeah, he
Christi, the
did.
second best numbers in the conference. So this is a big
Yeah,
week for them, actually.
that one on Monday I had circled as a potential trip, but not happening now. But should be one to tune in for. And just a refresher, if you remember last year's game, I think Corpus Christi led by well over 20
They
points at
did.
halftime, and that was that crazy collapse where they missed a bunch of free throws, and McNeese swiped it from them at the last second by like 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, we were watching that. I think it was after a podcast or something. But yeah, I remember being on the call while that was happening.
Hussein Street Report.
Yep.
Briggs, over in the SWAC, Southern had their game on Saturday over Grambling, the Bayou Classic there. They picked up a win. They're now 5-0, and sitting here sole possession of first place, although there's a bit of a logjam behind them. A bunch of teams within striking distance
Yeah,
still.
Cookman is kind of surprising me how well that they're playing. I mean, not that I thought they'd be at the bottom of the league, but I don't think I expected them to be this high. I still think Alabama State's had some good showings, but it's hard to say that Southern isn't the most impressive so far.
That happened. I thought they did the most out of conference, and they haven't lost yet in conference. Trips to Pine Bluff and Mississippi Valley this week. I think they're going to be okay in those two games, Rocco. What do you think? Can they beat
I think so.
the worst two Nets in
Yeah.
the country?
I think it's very amusing that the two worst teams are travel partners. So everybody gets that same swing. You either go to both of those back to back, or you get to host bowl. You saw Florida A&M last week as an example. Certainly not the strongest SWAC team by any means. They beat Mississippi Valley by 30, and they beat Pine Bluff by 10. What a fun week for the Rattlers.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Let's just keep things rolling right here. Rocco, how about the Summit League, where I know they're not postseason eligible, but this Tommy's team, I just think they're playing the best basketball in the league.
They are, yeah. And I mean, they should be kind of close now to, I didn't get my votes in, but I would say they should be getting close to a UTR top 10. I mean, they're that good. They're so effective shooting the ball. They've got Johnny Towers got that system locked in and dialed. And I think, if this can continue, whether they win the league or come close to winning the league, he might be getting some job offers at the next level. And it's been great to see. They're also doing a nice job, like playing a little bit of defense, which has been the big knock on them over the time they've been in D1. And then of course Omaha keeps winning, so they're 5-0. They get to play each other on Thursday. That's
Tomorrow
tomorrow.
night, big game, huge one.
Yeah.
Huge game. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I think Markell Sutton's the guy to watch for Omaha. He's really filled it up in the league, and people are still waiting for Omaha to fall, but they look really, really connected right now.
Also, keep an eye on Saturday, St. Thomas at Kansas City game. Kansas City preseason, we like them a ton. They've been a little disappointing, but definitely plenty of time for them to turn their season around. Griggs, last conference. Over in the WAC, the Lopes, took care of business this past week, but they do still remain behind Utah Valley, who beat them in the only head-to-head game so far this year.
Yeah, so I still think that the Lopes have the highest ceiling and are probably the best team in the league overall. I mean, not to take anything away from Utah Valley, but I just think that where we stand at the end of February, Grand Canyon's going to be there. They, if any, like I don't think that they're going to be inside the bubble by any means. But if they haven't won a road game yet, which is kind of almost unfathomable. But
They've only played two, though.
But I do think that, and both against tough teams, La Tech and Utah Valley. But I think that that's who's going to be there at the end. But I don't know. Utah Valley is having a good year.
No, this is a real interesting stretch ahead, though, for the Lopes. Five of their next seven are on the road, and the two home games are Seattle and Utah Valley, who are probably the next two best teams at the conference here. So I think the next 3, 4 weeks, we're going to learn all about this Lopes team and just how good they are.
Yeah, and they head into the Beehive, Southern Utah and Utah Tech. So,
Yeah, the southern tip of the Beehive.
yeah.
So yeah, Utah Valley is interesting team. They're the biggest team in the league by a good margin. They dominate all the big man stats. They best rebounding offense and defensive team in the conference. Best at block shots. Top 60 tallest team in the country. They never turn the ball over. A lot of great winning attributes, and they play fast. So that can knock teams out, like you've seen in that Utah Tech game. They won by 16. Had to go OT at UT Arlington, but that's a tough place to go get a win. But you want to talk about tough schedules coming up. The next three for the Wolverines: at Cal Baptist, which was a really good game in Orem. Now they'll have to go to Riverside, and then that's a tough swing when you have to play in Riverside on a Thursday and then be at Seattle, a talented Seattle team, on Saturday. If they can survive that, they'll be 7-0, and then they go to Grand Canyon Saturday, February 1st, and they'll join me because I'll be at that game, and that will be a big time WAC game,
Yeah, it will be. That's a big showcase for this conference.
yeah, the sentimental one as well. Well, for me, because this conference might not be around for very much longer, and of course, Grand Canyon, no matter what, is gone next year. So, just going to try to appreciate as much of this WAC good basketball as I can.
Upcoming schedule for this week, real quick in the WAC. We mentioned the Lopes games at Southern Utah and at Utah Tech. And we mentioned those Utah Valley games. Probably the Utah Valley Seattle game Saturday is probably the game to circle for the conference this week.
Yeah, I think
But
so.
let's jump over to some mythical conferences. Let's start with the battle for the old
Well,
per
Carter.
bucket.
Yeah.
And over the Beehive Conference, where oh, that's not the Beehive, that's the
That's the
Front
Front
Range.
Range. Yeah.
Let's try this again here. Over the
That's a real
Beehive
mythical
Conference,
conference.
two games we had this week, including the Holy War between Utah BYU, Utah Valley knocked off Utah Tech, and now it's Utah and Utah Valley tied for first place
Yeah.
in the battle for the bucket.
We kind of mentioned it the other night, but the Utah BYU game, and neither team anywhere near the bubble, the game doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning on paper. And my God, was that, I mean, it was as intense and as crazy as you thought it would be. What a rivalry.
No conference games that this week in the Beehive. We just flashed up the Front Range. Let's get those standings back up there. The Colorado State with a huge win over Wyoming to get
Wyoming,
their first
yeah.
conference win. Although it's the Colorado who's still sitting here in first place in the conference. And if we can get the screen to work here, we can look at the upcoming game. There was one upcoming game: Air Force at Colorado State.
Yeah, air. Wow.
Air Force
So,
a little bit struggling so far in conference play.
yeah, just 3-15 on the year. Tough to play against them.
Back range conference where Arizona State and New Mexico State are tied for first. And do we have any games this week? No game this week. We
Yeah, I don't think so.
a little disappointing so far in the back range this year. Top range, we had a bunch of games though. And now it is Idaho State. Who would have suspected that? Idaho State in first place in the top range and gets the
Uh-oh.
automatic bid to the NCAA tournament if they win it, right?
Yeah, they do. They get the mythical automatic bid.
Let's see. I think we have a couple games this week as well. Let's take a quick look at that. Just one, Montana State, Montana. Good
Yeah.
rivalry game there.
Yeah,
Always.
that is for the big top range. And then we've got, like, this is the biggest mythical conference of all, I think, coming up here.
The
You
conference
know who
of
the only,
champions. Go ahead, Rocco.
the only team that gets higher than the top range is Wyoming.
Yes. And they're on the front of that range. Yeah.
UCLA still leading conference of champions. Oregon, with four wins, that leads in wins, but they do have one loss so far in conference play.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah,
Oof.
but big week this week. We got UCLA at Washington, Colorado, Arizona, UCLA, USC, Arizona State, Colorado, all on the Pac-12 network.
Yes.
Can't wait. Roxy
That's a
Bernstein's ready to
mythical
roll.
network.
Let's go to our Under the Radar top 10. Riggs, myself, and our colleague John Slica all voted. We've got a bunch of honorable mentions here, teams that did not quite make our top 10, but we've got Grand Canyon Antelopes, Princeton, Yale, South Alabama, Miami, Ohio, Middle Tennessee, St. Thomas, and the entire Atlantic 10 Conference, Griggs. That's an honorable mention.
The entire Atlantic 10 Conference getting an honorable mention.
If you're going to have the Atlantic 10, you got to have the American. They've been even worse.
No, they've got
Memphis.
Yeah,
well, I mean, the Americans weren't worth a vote.
tied for ninth place, a two-way tie between Northern Iowa and Arkansas State. Arkansas State's still getting in there. They're out of our feature conference. South Alabama, only an honorable mention. Although, as you mentioned at the top of the show, South Alabama now in first place.
Yeah.
Two-way tie for seventh between College of Charleston and Liberty.
Liberty's still getting votes. Yeah.
Okay. Number six. How about McNeese? Moving the way back up the list.
Yeah, and I was down on them, not voting for them at all, but that's about where I voted them this week. They're starting to impress me again.
Samford, Buckyball, coming in at number
Buckyball.
Five.
Buckyball, yes, well-deserving of that ranking.
UC San Diego, still on the board at number four.
Yeah, still a really good team. I mean,
very good team.
Yeah, the one loss to Riverside, and as Rocco covered, that's not an easy game to win, doesn't erase all the good that they've done. They're really good.
Bradley coming in number three out of the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Their conference mate Drake at number two.
It's a good Drake team.
No surprise. Big West has been dominating our one spot and remains up there. UC Irvine, number one, under the radar top 10. Sorry if we didn't have a drum roll this week. I'm on the road. I don't have sound effects. But on that note, let's go to any of their final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Well, yeah, Big South Conference. I mean, that's the theme of the night where I'm at. It's probably the best it's ever been. They've for years been one of the worst conferences in D1, an annual play-in game type of league. They're all the way up to 17th in KenPom right now for conference strength, above the Sun Belt, above the Horizon, above the Summit, above the Big Sky, above the MAC. So, I felt like it was very necessary to get out here and get to a game with their first place team, UNC Asheville, who will remain in first at 5-1. I just think there's some excellent depth. Longwood has good money. High Point has a ton of money. And UNC Asheville's had a very consistent program, as has Winthrop. And we know how solid Radford has been in recent times. And this Gardner-Webb team down the street, they're not far off. They're usually top anywhere from 3 to 5th, and Jeremy Luther is going to keep that going. And some of the other teams left that I didn't mention, Presbyterian, not Presbyterian per se, but Upstate's got a new coach, Charleston Southern has a new coach, and Presbyterian's been better. The floor is rising, and then the top is rising. It's been pretty cool to see, and there's some really good talent in the league as well. I think Kamani Hamilton's got an NBA opportunity. Jordan Marsh, the kid I saw for Asheville today, can fill it up in a heartbeat. Damarian Williams has NBA hopes from High Point. And Tajay Kelly has put up some huge games for Charleston Southern. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, just a huge shout-out to the league. They've invested a lot in basketball. The Canadian tournament that I announced in November is sponsored by the Big South. They're trying to do all they can to bring talent to this league. And, we're big lovers on this show of leagues that care, and they've shown over these last few years that they care and they're ready for this next iteration of what college basketball is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch these teams. I think you're right. This Big South Conference is a conference on the rise. Griggs, want to finish out the show?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to our feature conference and something that we talked about earlier, and that's the Sun Belt Conference and their like 7-round conference tournament format that just. There's ladders, there's extension ladders, and then there's firemen's ladders that are extended all the way to the top, like this one is. But what it has sort of done, and I never really took this into account until we started playing out, a conference that is routinely log-jammed the way the Sun Belt typically is and is again this year, at least right now, with one game separating fourth place from 12th place. That's one game that makes the difference between three or four potential rounds of how many games you have to win the conference tournament. And that crazy, ridiculous format, as much as we've made fun of it, and I'm sure we'll continue to make fun of it, it's actually making for a very compelling week for a league that has a ton of parity and that always seems to have second and 10th place separated by a game or two.
Yeah, it's got to be it's got to be a wild watch of this Sunbelt tournament
Yeah,
when we get to
it
it and see if it actually ends up working or not, and whether they decide to
really
scrap it after this year. But it's still more than a month away. But for now, I do want to thank everyone for joining us on behalf of Rocco Miller. Check him out at bracketeer.org, or if you happen to be in Gardner Webb area right now, go to the bar. He's right
Go to
there.
the
Go
bar,
buy.
have it,
Go
buy him
buy
a
him a
drink.
drink right now.
Yeah.
Shelby, North Carolina. I'm in Shelby. Yeah.
Shelby, North Carolina. David Griggs over there. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Back again Sunday night with a bracket rundown, and Monday with a Hoops HD report, and next Wednesday with another Under the Radar. Talk to you again.